again, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you to this recording, and I hope that you've been having a wonderful and a blessed day, and that the Lord's been very kind to you. He's been very kind to me, more than I could put in words. And I know that you feel the same way. We have a wonderful God, and what a privilege it is to serve Him, and that our God doesn't accept any kind of fake or false love. Our God is He's real. He's alive. And one day we're going to get to see Him face to face. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I hope that you've been looking forward to studying again. I have. And I tell you, it's one of the hardest things in the world for me to push these buttons. It's not for me to push the buttons. It's just the enemy. The enemy just, he goes out of his way to stop these things from getting recorded he just beats your brains in, telling you all kind of lies and everything else. And I'm sure he does the same thing to you before you sit down to get ready to listen to one of these. I give you every excuse not to, and everything in the way, and just everything else until you've actually just pushed the button and sat down and begin, and then he slacks off and leaves you alone. That word runs him off, I guess. But I know he fears God's word. And but praise the Lord for giving us the courage and the energy to be able to do these things right and to be in God's word. Today we're going to go back into our study of letter L2, which is life. We're studying about life. What does the Bible say about life? And it seemed kind of repetitious. If I don't know if it did to you or anything else, but the introduction last time, we were just asking one question. What is life? What is life? How do you define it? What is it? Does anybody know? Did you do any kind of research or any kind of studying on your own as far as just looking up life to see what the definitions were and what you could find out about it and stuff like that? You know, the Bible has all kind of different avenues concerning life, and we're going to get into every one of them. This is going to be a lengthy kind of study, but not a boring study. It's a good one. But I didn't give you the scriptures for last time. You know me. And that's the way I do things. I plan it, but you get done studying the Word of God, it's just kind of like you just feel so good and you're so full that you can't remember. At least I can't. I've got brain damage, I guess. But let me give you these scriptures, and we'll begin studying today after that. Okay, you ready? All right, the first one was Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, and this was under some of man's definitions for life, remember? And Colossians 3, verse 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8, John chapter 14, verse 6, and John chapter 6, verse 63. And those were the ones that we used from God's Word last time when we were discussing the introduction and what some of man's definitions of life were. We seen how man uses the word life, and man is not afraid to use the word life. Somebody speaks the word life every day, even in a sarcastic way. Get a life, you know. What are you talking about? Get a life. What is a life? If I went to get one, what would I be looking for? You see, everybody uses the word life. It's kind of like the word hell. Everybody uses the word hell, but they don't realize what they're saying. Or you'd be surprised how many people say they don't believe in hell, but they use the word. Same thing with life. This is a word that all of mankind uses. And they put it on billboards, and they put it on poems, and they put it on sayings, and they encourage themselves with it, and they name stores after it, and all kinds of things. They use this word life, but if you ask anybody to define it, nobody knows what it is. Everybody's got a reason for it, like for instance a social life or a city life or a real life. I got a real life. Yeah, what about the complexities of life? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? A new life in Australia, remember? He wanted to live his life without interference. Well, what are you talking about life? He wanted to live his life. While there's life, there's hope. Well, I believe that's true, but what is life? I mean, how do you know when you've lost it? How do you know when it's not there? I know a lot of people that don't think that don't have any hope, but they're still living and breathing. Have they lost their life? Is life part of living and breathing? You know, life depends on many chemical and physical processes. Is that true? Is that what the Bible says? Does the Bible teach that? The battery had a short life. Oh, batteries can have the same comparison to a human when it comes to life. What does life mean? Life seems to be defined in a great big giant area of definition. I mean, it seems to be a word that's so big that nobody can define this thing. It's too big to define because it's used in so many different places. The oceans are teeming with life. That ain't got nothing to do with a battery. What about there is no life on the moon? Well, how do you know there's no life on the moon? I mean, what are you comparing it to? You're comparing it to life somewhere else? Well, what is the life somewhere else? Define it so we know what we're looking for on the moon. You see? Nobody can do that. What is life? What do you mean? An account of these series of events making up a person's life. The autobiography was entitled, This Was Your Life. Remember the old Christmas movie, This Was Your Life? I think it was Jimmy Stewart or somebody that played in that, the old one, black and white. I don't know anybody that didn't like that. But anyway, how about pottery? Was his life. Pottery was his life. Man, that's life. This is life. Life, 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 life. And then we got into some scriptures and talked about, remember I told you about Charles Manson's follower, what was her name? Patricia Krenwinkle. She'd been in prison all of her life, just about. There's that life word. All of her life, and she come up for parole and had already put in about 30 years. They done an interview with her, and like a documentary kind of thing, and asked her about what her involvement was in all that mess that went on, and she told that story about murdering Abigail Folger, remember? And she was the daughter of Mr. Folger that owns the coffee company. And all due respect to them, I know what it's like to lose a daughter. I lost my oldest daughter. But it must have been terrible for them, especially the way that she went, being stabbed to death. But Patricia Krenwinkle, she was talking about killing her and stabbing her 28 times after she chased her down in the front yard on the driveway and stabbed while she was stabbing her. She said that Abigail Folger was saying something. And what a thing to be saying. She said, "You can't kill me. I'm already dead." Now, there's something in that. That going through your mind and through your heart while you know you're fixing to lose your life, while a knife is being driven in and out of you 28 times. I mean, I could stand here and count to 28, and each count I make representing one time being stabbed, and it would sicken you by the time I got to 28 about how many times that is. I mean, that was a long period of time. But while all this was happening, she was thinking, "You can't kill me. I'm already dead." And then we read some scripture talking about Colossians 3:3, remember? "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." I mean, that's scripture, man. That's Bible. We are dead. Well, if we're dead, then how do we know we have life? I mean, this thing's getting more complicated by the minute. But not really, because as we move through the study, you'll see. But moving right along, you see, that must have been some kind of statement. I mean, that blew me away listening to that and what she said. And it really, I mean, this woman thought about that in prison for 30 years and remembered it when she was being asked questions during that documentary. And she remembered that, and she says that still puzzles her why she was saying that. And she was a crazy stoned out of her mind teenager back then, following an idiot. But now that she's grown into a woman and lived in prison for 30 years, that thing's still on her mind. That was one statement that she remembered, and it had to do with life. You can't kill me. I'm already dead. And you know how much Bible that represents? If you're looking at life that way. But the Bible has a lot to say about life. Then we went on down through there and we seen that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about life himself in John 14:6. He said, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus brought up the word life. He represented himself and compared himself to being life itself. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, as we move on through here, I believe you're going to find out that, well, let me just go ahead and say it in the way I went through this study, when I got to the end of it, as I was going through this study, I was anticipating nailing down what his life is so that I could stand in front of somebody and define life. And I can, but it's not going to be the answer that some people think. When the Bible talks about life, it talks about many different kinds of life. There are more than one kind of life. But all these, when you talk about life, it's kind of like turning a bunch of rabbits loose at one time and all of them running in a different direction. All the rabbits put together are life, but when you turn them loose, all of them go in a different direction, and all of them mean something different and are looking at something different and running in a different way. And that's kind of like the way that the scriptures describe life. The scriptures talk about life in many different ways. And they're all different, and they all start a different way, and they all end a different way, and they all exist in a different way. Yeah, talking about life. But when you put them all together, they all come back to one, and one meaning of life, and we'll see that. So remember when we was talking about salvation, that salvation has many different branches off of it also, or tenses, if you will, not meaning that you can get saved many different ways or you have to do many different things to get saved. The Bible says that we're in the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God. The only way that you can be saved is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible says. But now when it comes to salvation, the Bible speaks of many different tenses of salvation. When it speaks of salvation, you see, you have to break that thing down and find out what the scriptures are talking about. Because there's many places in the scripture when it actually uses the word salvation, and it's not talking about being saved from hell. It's talking about being saved from sin while you're in the body. Completely different thing altogether. Sometimes it's talking about salvation as far as the Lord himself personally coming and getting us and saving us from this wicked world and getting us out of here, literally. It talks about salvation in that way. Not talking about hell or heaven or anything or punishment or anything of the sort. Talking about a completely different thing, but using the word salvation. And yet, just as valid, having to do with salvation. Now, I don't want to get y'all a lot smarter than me, and I doubt I could even get you confused, but I'm not going to try to get you confused. This is ABCs, and this is real easy to understand once you get with the Bible, the way that the Lord's putting it out there. You see, the Lord wrote the scriptures And he put his divine touch on the scriptures. The Holy Ghost authored it. And the words of God are alive. Did you get that? The words of God are alive eternally, just like the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Word of God is the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then the Bible says that we have the written Word. The Bible says, the words that I speak unto you, they are life. They are spirit, and they are life. So you see, it tells us that we need to rightly divide the word of truth. And it's talking about actually dividing, chopping it up, finding out where the answers are. The Lord put that Bible together for two reasons. So that people would be sincere when they come to the Lord, wanting to know who He is and to find Him out. That they would study to show themselves approved unto God. And then he wrote it another way, wrote it in such a way to where the mockers and the scoffers, when they get into the scriptures, will look like complete and utter idiots when they try to find something out about the Lord when they're insincere about it. You see, but we're not insincere. We want to know the Lord. We want to know His Word. We want to know what He thinks. And that's what we're doing. So, going into today's study, talking about life, we're going to go under a heading of life natural. Life natural. Now you say, Brother TV, what do you mean life natural? Well, natural. Adam and Eve, life in the natural body, nature, natural. Being born of the flesh, the fleshly life. The body that you're wearing, that you're inside of, the flesh, the natural life, and everything that surrounds it having to do with life. And what keeps this body alive, food and water and drink and vitamins and minerals and all the things that have to do with natural life. Okay? The Bible does talk about natural life when it says it. It calls it natural life. And we're going to go over some truths having to do with the natural life and what the natural life is about and what the Bible says about the natural life. When the Bible talks about the natural life, it talks about, we're going to talk about and see is the origin of life natural. Now, we're talking about life. But we're talking about natural life now. Now, what's the origin of natural life? Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 28 and 29, "For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." Well, there you go. The Bible says when it comes to the natural life, it's speaking of the natural life right there. The writer there tells us that we didn't come from monkeys. The natural life didn't come from no stinking monkey Darwin. We didn't come from no stinking monkeys. The Bible says that. It tells us very plainly that our life is in Him. For in Him, who? The Lord. We live and move and have our being. How does it get any plainer than that? How could you dare believe in any kind of evolution that come from a pile of goop, a monkey hanging in a fish hopping out of a pool of goop and a big explosion and blobbity blab, blab, blab? That's the stupidest idea and the most foolish. Hitler said one time, he said, if you want to fool a big amount of people at once, he said, you tell the biggest lie that you could possibly tell as loud as you can tell it and as long as you can tell it, and the people will believe it. And now every college, secular college and Christian colleges, you could say, in this Laodicean era, are teaching monkey business. That you come from a stinking monkey, and they're teaching it as doctrine. And we got generations thinking that they come from monkeys. And that's why people are shooting themselves in the head and killing themselves, and everybody's going out of their measure, men trying to be women and women trying to be men, and 12-year-olds having babies and all kind of goop going on. Because of foolishness of being taught about life the natural way. The Bible says that we come from the Lord, for in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Did you hear what the Bible said? Why wouldn't you believe that? There's peace in believing that you came from God. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, the Bible says we are the offspring of God. The Bible says we are the offspring of God. One more time, just for the sake of it. The Bible says we are the offspring of God. We ought not to think, and just in case you get a little confused about that, let me tell you what not to think. What you do think is, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, here's what you don't think. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's devices. Simple, easy, 5-year-old stuff can understand that. The Bible says that. In Genesis, listen to this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, the life natural, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Life natural. There it is. There's where it comes from. That's the origin. There it is. Well, there you go. The Lord's Word gives you permission not to believe the monkey man evolutionists when they say that your life came from a stone or slime or whatever else they came up with. Believe the Bible and you'll be right and sane. I ain't never believed that I came from no stinking monkey. Have you ever been to the zoo and looked at a monkey? Nah, I ain't gonna say it. Never mind. Moving on. The origin of life, natural. Life, first thing is that life, natural, comes from God's creation. From God's creation. Acts chapter 17 and Genesis 2 just told us that. Another thing about origin of life, natural. Life, natural, comes by natural birth. Comes by natural birth. People didn't pop into the world accidentally or come in from a spaceship or anything like that. Natural life comes from natural birth. Life natural comes from natural birth. Genesis chapter 4. It's a shame that in society now, not a shame, I love learning this stuff and just nailing it down because it's true. And I know you do too. But isn't it kind of something to it that in the 21st century of man being on this earth, 2,000 and something years, the best he can come up with is a pool of goo. That he will, you know, everybody talk about things getting so better and getting better and getting better. That's not true. Things are not getting better. Things are getting worse. People are getting worse. The thoughts of man is getting worse. Man treating man thinking about where he come from and his life, the value that's on life, the origin, life natural, the origin of life natural. And then we're talking about life natural comes from natural birth. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Notice what she called him. She called him a man when she bore him. gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Adam knew his wife Eve. That means they come together and become one together. And she conceived the seed of Adam. And Cain was developed inside of her. Cain became a man inside of her. And then she delivered him, and then she bare his brother Abel. Talking about life natural. Life natural comes by natural birth. That's how come your sex perverts can't have children. Because God didn't set it up that way. God set it up that a man and a woman, man knows a woman, and by the way that God put it together and these things coming together, God makes a human being inside of a human being. Natural life. Life natural comes by natural birth. The origin of life natural. Life natural comes by natural birth. And that's not all. Life natural comes by supernatural conception. Does the Bible say that? Yes, it does. Let's see where it says it. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 31 through 35, listen to this. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Who's talking? An angel. Talking to who? Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, the one that bore him. I don't know if I'm supposed to say bore. It don't sound right. But anyway, the one that birthed him. There we go. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Same thing we was talking about Adam and Eve. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived after he knew her. Okay, well, Mary's asking the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? What's Mary saying? Well, she's saying that a man and a woman have to know each other. A man has to know her in order for her to have to bear life natural. Mary wasn't no evolutionist. She knew that she didn't have to have anything to do with a monkey in order to bear natural life. She knew that she needed a man. And she knew that she didn't need to go down and get her a girlfriend. She knew that she wasn't going to be able to bear life natural with a girlfriend. She had to have a man, a husband. Of his kingdom shall there be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Isn't that neat? Jesus Christ was a man, a human being. He was God in the flesh. But the fleshly part of him was a human being, a man, a literal human being. He was born from a human being naturally. Only God could do that. God supernaturally impregnated Mary that had life natural, and she conceived from the Holy Ghost, and she produced a human being a natural, she produced life, God produced life in her, of a natural human being. And they named him Jesus. And he is the Son of God. He shall be called the Son of God. So, life natural. What do we see so far from life natural? We see that life natural, the origin of life natural, that it comes from God. The Bible says it does. We don't have to believe in all, just because half the world believes in stupid evolution and the nonsense of evolution, you don't have to believe it. And I don't know anybody that can believe it and have peace about it anyway. I wouldn't be happy with myself. I'm a burden to myself to begin with, but to walk around thinking I came from a monkey and try to figure that out. The origin of life natural. We come from the Lord. We come from God. Life natural comes by natural birth. That's the way it comes. You can't grow it in a test tube. You can't duplicate it like a sheep. I don't forget what that sheep's name that they made. They clone. You can't clone natural life. They're going to make a monster is what they're going to do. Life natural comes by natural birth. And then we have life natural comes by supernatural conception. We read that in Luke. Well, Isaiah says something about that also in chapter 7 and verse 14. The Bible says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Natural, life natural, a natural female woman is going to bear God's child and bear a natural man. And bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with us on earth in the flesh. Isn't that neat? That is neat. So we're talking about natural life. We're talking about the origin of natural life. We're talking about the origin of natural life comes from God. It comes from a natural birth, and it comes from supernatural conception. Now let's see something else. The Bible's description about the shortness of life natural. Talking about the body. Talking about living in the body. Coming out of the womb, being a human being. Life natural. The Bible's description of the shortness of life natural. Well, if you hadn't got it yet, you're aging. You're getting older. And the older you get, and I don't know if you're old enough to understand this yet, you probably are, but the older you get, the faster it goes, doesn't it? I never thought there'd be a day, and I knew it would be because I heard people say it so much, but I never thought there would be a day I could look back and I could say, man, 50 years have gone by. 50 years is a long time. But the Bible's description of the about life natural, and it talks about its shortness and how brief and how short it is. Let's look at some of it. The Bible says in Job, listen to this, chapter 20, verse 4 through 8, knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. Too bad those new versions didn't update that word, huh? Of his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream, and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. One thing that we see when the Bible's description of the shortness of life natural, that life natural is as a dream or a vision. According to Job, it's as a dream or a vision. That's pretty short. And that's not all. The Bible says that life natural is as a shadow. Is as a shadow. 1 Corinthians chapter 29 and verse 15, the Bible says, "For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." When it's your time to go, and when it was their time to go, they left. They're gone. Just like a shadow. A shadow comes, you see it, it goes by, and it's gone forever. The Bible says that life natural is not only like a dream or like a vision, it's like a shadow. And that's not all. The Bible says that life natural in the body, on the earth, being born naturally from a natural, in a natural way from natural life, is as a cloud. In Job chapter 7, verse 9, the Bible says, As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. Life natural is as a cloud. You sit there and look up at the clouds. I do that often. I look up. My neighbors think I'm a nut. But I go outside and I look up. I look up more than I ever looked up now. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. I figure if you got to set your affections on it, you might as well look at it. But I like watching the sky. And I lay back, I sit back in that chair out there when I'm reading on the porch out there, and I sit back and I look up at the sky, and you can... I was doing that yesterday. I was looking at a set of clouds that looked like a chick. Looked like a chicken's chick, you know. Looked just like a chick. It had the legs, the wings, and everything else. And you say, you're a nut. No, I'm not. It was real. It was real. Looked just like a chicken. But as I sat there and looked at it, my attention got drawn to a couple of buzzards that was flying over me. And I don't know what that meant, but anyway. And I looked back at that set of clouds, and it changed. It fuzzed away. It fizzled away. Part of it was over here, and part of it was over there, and it changed just that quick. Just that quick. The Bible says that life natural in Job there is as a cloud. It's consumed and vanisheth away. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. Now, what's the Bible teaching us about life so far? What is life? Well, life is natural life. It's life natural. It's life in the body. The body being alive. The Bible said, and he breathed in man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. He woke up. He come alive. He didn't wake up. He got life. When God breathed, and you're going to find that, remember that. When God breathed into his nostrils, the breath of life. Remember that through this study. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living, had life. Living is having life. What is life? Well, the Bible says God breathed into his nostrils and he became. God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Okay, talking about natural life. What is life? Well, natural life, life natural. We have life naturally. The Bible teaches that. We've been learning that. It's short. The Bible describes the shortness of life natural as a dream or as a vision or as a shadow. Describes it as a cloud that is there for 1 second. You look away and look back and it's gone. That's not all. The Bible also refers and describes the shortness of life natural as a few days or like a flower. Job chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 1 and verse 2, man that is born of a woman, life natural, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He nailed us down, didn't he? He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. All of it true concerning a description of the shortness of life natural. The older you get, the more you realize that natural life, our life, naturally, is very short. A brand new baby being born and you see it just like a flower. It's like brand new flesh. There ain't nothing. I was walking through the driveway the other day and my neighbor was standing out there and she had a little bitty puppy. And I love puppies. They're just, I love the smell of them. I love their little ways and the way that they do things. Just little old puppies, you know. And I just went, oh, and she handed me the puppy and I was sitting there and I smelled it right off the bat. Little puppies just got such a good, just a puppy smell. Smelled like a puppy. And I just awed over it and everything else. And they said that they found them on the side of the road. The mother had been hit and they found them on the side of the road and they couldn't leave them. So they got all the puppies and brought them home. And they were trying to give them away and asked me if I knew anybody. And I said that I would check to see if my daddy wanted one, but he didn't. But anyway, I was smelling that puppy and it reminded me of a brand new smell of a baby, of a natural, of life naturally in a baby. A brand new baby's got, man, I smelled my baby. I had three daughters, and I smelled, they must have thought I was a nut. Daddy, would you quit smelling me? Just the smell of a natural, life natural in a baby. And the smell of them. And they come in and they're like a flower, just like a flower. They just bloom and their flesh is brand new and they just feel so brand new. And then they bloom and they just show themselves real big and just so pretty and so beautiful. Natural life. And then we start aging. And here we are. Just that quick. The Bible's description of the shortness of life natural. It's like a dream or a vision. It's like a shadow. It's like a cloud. It's like a few days, the Bible says in Job, and it's like a flower. And that's not all. The Bible talks of it being short as a vapor. A vapor, you know, when you're in there on the stove and you're boiling water or something like that, and that vapors are going to get it boiling into a rolling boil, and you're watching those vapors come up out of there, real thick coming off of the water there. And as they rise and they get a little bit higher and a little bit higher, they start thinning out, and then pretty soon, gone. Just like a vapor. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And that's true, isn't it? Have you ever heard of somebody walk up to you and you say, well, you know what's going on with old what's-his-name? And they say, oh, you didn't hear? You say, hear what? Well, they died. And your heart just drops. And you, oh, what? Yeah, they're gone. And you thought, my, oh my. And you get that old feeling that comes to us as we age just a little bit more often and more frequent. That, man, life natural sure is short. It's like a vapor. Here for a second and then gone. That's what the Bible says. Now let's pause just a minute and try to define life from what we've learned so far. Life natural. Life natural. What's the definition of life? What is life? Well, so far we've learned that whatever it is that describes life, it's natural. It can be. It can make itself. It can redevelop itself. Life natural makes itself. It comes from God. The Bible says natural life natural comes from God. So God's the author of it. And then we find out that it comes from that life natural comes naturally from a natural birth. And we found out that the Lord Jesus used that life, that sort of life, natural life, in order to come and die for us and pay for our sins. He brought the blood that was necessary, God's blood, to redeem us, to shed in a natural body. Had natural life, the Lord did. And then we've learned that life natural is short. It doesn't last very long. So, you mean life is only so long? Yeah, naturally. That's what the Bible teaches. That it's as a dream or a vision or a shadow or a cloud or a few days or like a flower that comes and just shows itself so pretty, and then the next time you look at it, it's hanging over about to fall off. And that's kind of like what we do when we get older. We do just like the flower. We start bending over and drooping, don't we? It's even a vapor. It's even as a vapor. Life natural is even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And that's not all. We really haven't learned the definition. It doesn't tell us what the definition of life is. All it tells us, gives us, is evidence of what it's like. Naturally. Is that natural life comes from natural life. And that God created it, and that the Lord Jesus Christ used it as a medium to come down here to the earth to die for man and to be the sacrifice for sins and to save our souls by believing on him. And then he resurrected in that natural body with only one difference. It didn't have any blood in it. Yeah, that's right. We'll read that. The Bible's description of the shortness of life and us trying to find out what life is. The Bible teaches us that life natural doesn't last. It's life, whatever life is, but it's only for a season. It's like a dream or a vision or a shadow or a cloud or a few days or like a flower. Or like vapor. And a couple other things. Life natural, the shortness of life natural is as a tale that's told. You know, when you're standing around and you tell a story or something, it has a beginning and it has an ending. And then it's over. It's kind of like that tombstone. It has a birthday on it. It has a dash, and then it has a death day on it. And a whole set of life natural is buried right there under that tombstone on either side of a dash. The Bible says that life natural and the length of it and the shortness of it is like a tale that's told. In the Bible, in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Just sitting around listening to somebody. Next time you're standing around and all of you stand around fellowshipping and somebody starts telling a little story or something. Well, let me tell you this story. And they begin the story, and you're interested, and you're listening to it, and he goes on through it and everything else. And it might be a good story, and it might be an encouraging story, or whatever kind of story it is. But then he gets to the finish, and he said, "Isn't that something?" And then it's over. That's what the Bible says about life natural. It's life, but it's very short. And then one day you're standing there and you're saying, "Isn't that something?" And that's not all. The Bible says about the shortness of life natural, it's like a pilgrimage. The Bible has a lot to say about life natural, doesn't it? Especially in the shortness of it. Genesis chapter 47. The Bible says in verse 9, "And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." He said, "I'm not living as long as my daddies did." He said, "But the days of my life natural, are 130 years. He called it a pilgrimage. What's a pilgrimage? Somebody that's a pilgrim, somebody that's traveling from one place to another. It's like a pilgrimage. Life natural. It is life. It's genuine life. It's from God. But it's short. That's what the Bible teaches. Isn't that what we've been reading? That's why I believe it's because it's in God's Word. And you can believe that too. We don't really need a whole lot of evidence to know that God is true and God is right about all this. Maybe that God knew that how stupid man was going to come up saying that he come from a monkey and all kind of things. He had to tell us that life was short in so many different ways. That's a dream or a vision or a shadow or... It's short as a cloud. You see a cloud one minute and it's gone, vanished away. It's like a flower in a few days, like a vapor. It's as a tale that's told and like a pilgrimage, the Bible says. And finally, or not finally, but lastly, talking about life natural and the Bible's description of it and the shortness of it, it says grass. The Bible compares life natural as grass. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. There's a song that's like that. It says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Now, we're reading out of God's Word, the perfect, inspired, inerrant, living Word of the living God. And God has told us many, many things about how short life is. Now, why would the Lord talk about life natural in that way? Because it's true. We don't have to have much more evidence of believing what God has shown us today. All we have to do is look around us. Right down at the end of my driveway, there's a lady named Miss Laurie down there that has rented a piece of this property there right by the highway there. And you know what she does, her business? She sells tombstones. She has them all out there in the yard, all lined up, and the yard, she just, her and her husband are both disabled, and she has recently just gotten better. I've been praying for her quite a bit, gotten better from cancer, and her husband looks like, he walks around with a cane, looks like he has some back trouble. But they've been dressing the area up around there and planting flowers and everything else. And with this coronavirus that's around and everything else, I don't know. Seems like business is picking up. But even if it's not picking up, it's going to be steady, isn't it? According to what the Bible says. Folks, we ought to be, the Bible says, redeeming the time, for the days are short. We're talking about life. What have we learned about life today? That life is, that there is such thing as life, and that the Lord is the one that originated it. We're talking about life natural. The Bible talks about life naturally. We are in a body that is natural. We've seen natural human beings being born from natural human beings through nature. That's why the Bible talks about everything being natural in the Scriptures. And when it talks about perverted things, it talks about them being unnatural. The way that God sets things up, the way that the Lord made them, He made them perfect. God's not the one that ruined things. But He's the fixer of ruined things, isn't He? You talking to one? Are you listening to one? We talked about the origin of life natural. There is life. But we haven't really described what this life is. We know it's natural, but we haven't described what this life is yet, or defined it specifically. The origin of it, we've seen. We've seen that it comes naturally. We've seen that the Lord caused natural or life natural by supernatural conception. And then we also seen that the Bible's description of the shortness of life natural, a dream or a vision or a shadow, the Bible called it. And it said life is compared to a cloud or a few days or like a flower. It's even like a vapor. It's like a tale that's told or a pilgrimage. And then I think the last thing that we talked about concerning how the shortness of life natural is that it's like grass. It's like grass. It says in 1 Peter there, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And we see all these people standing up and hooing and hawing and look at me and I'm somebody and woohoo, look at me, look at me. And the Bible says, all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Well, to be ever so careful about our pride, brothers and sisters, because our life is so short. What we should be doing is giving our Savior glory and giving our Lord glory and trying to find out as much as we can find out, like you're doing today, about the Lord, and to just love the Lord with all our hearts and with all our soul and with all our mind and all our strength. So we're going to stop right there, and we'll continue on this study of life natural. We've talked about the origin of it. We talked about the natural birth, and we talked about supernatural conception and the shortness of it. We'll get back into talking about life natural on the next recording, and we'll talk about what God's concern for life natural is and what a believer's attitude toward life natural ought to be. And we'll also talk about the cost of caring too much for life natural. Interesting stuff. The Bible talks about all of that. Sure does. Let me give you the scriptures for today. You ready? Life natural. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 and 29. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 through 35. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Job chapter 20, verse 4 through 8. Job had a lot to say about natural life. Life natural. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15. Job chapter 7, verse 9. Job chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. James 4, 14. 4, 14. Psalm chapter 90, verse 9. Genesis chapter 47, verse 9. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. And that was the last scripture that we used for today, or that we learned from God's Word and read. Isn't God's Word wonderful? The more you get to know it, the more great peace have they that love thy law. Great peace. God's Word gives us peace, brothers and sisters. Let's not be ashamed of our Lord. Let's give Him glory, and let's not be ashamed to talk about Him. You ought to tell people about what God has done for you when you have the opportunity. Especially if somebody... People always love to hear what God's done for people. I ain't never heard somebody say, "Shut up, I don't want to hear what God's done for you." Everybody loves to hear somebody say God's done something for them because it gives them hope. Whether they want to hear about it or not, it gives them hope. Because some of them think, well, you know, God is real. And He is. So, thank you for listening in today. This is Brother Thurman and the ABCs of Christian Growth, and we're talking about life. And today we've been talking about life natural. Life natural. In the body. Naturally. So we'll get back in our study of life on the next recording. This is Brother Thurman. Thank you for studying God's Word. God bless you for that. Bye-bye.